Good evening. Welcome to the live stream Bible study of the Olson Park Church of Christ. My name is Kyle Pope. Thank you so much for joining us this evening for our Bible study. Normally, we would have been at the building. We have been for some time having one class in the auditorium for all ages, and that normally would have been our custom. But if you are acquainted with what's going on in Texas and the Panhandle especially, we've had several days of an unprecedented snowstorm. We last night got about 7 inches just within a few hours. We've had temperatures below zero. And because of that, especially with a number of outages that have gone on in the area, the elders made the decision to cancel our services at the building, but we are going to have a live stream Bible study tonight. So thank you so much for joining us for that, and we'll get started with that in just a moment. We would like to encourage you to be with us for our regular periods of worship and Bible study. Lord willing, we'll be able to come together Sunday morning at 10 a.m. for worship as a church. And then, as I said, on Wednesdays, for the present time, we are having one class in the auditorium for all ages. Lord willing, we'll be able to resume normal classes for all ages, splitting up into different classes, but for the present, we are continuing in that way. We'd like to encourage you to take advantage of some of our resources. And we had a bulletin Sunday, and I ran an article that was written by a brother back in the 50s named Eugene Clevenger called We Are a Different People. And it's interesting because even though we're several decades out from when that was written, it has application to our times today. And so I'd encourage you to take a look at that if you are able to. We had some at the building, but we also put it on our website. And so we'd encourage you to make use of it in that way. Also, our website, olsonpark.com, we put all of our sermons and bulletins. We even have the debate from this past summer. We have other resources that are available on there as well. If you need to get in touch with us, please call our building at 806-352-2809. Or you can call me on my cell phone, 806-341-1686. My name is Kyle Pope. I preach for the Olson Park Church of Christ, and I'd be happy to help you however I can. Before we get started with our Bible study this evening, let's go to God in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the blessings of this life. We thank you for taking care of us, even in the midst of stormy weather, in the midst of cold temperatures. I pray, Father, that you will be with those that are struggling and help those that are in a position to be able to be of assistance to them. We pray that this will come to an end quickly, as we do the virus as well. We pray that it will come to an end and we may be able to resume a measure of normal life as we're able to. Father, I pray that you will be with those who either are sick or those that are struggling in the midst of this storm. And I pray that you will comfort them and help them to recover their health or to recover their situation so they can make it through this very difficult time. Be with us this evening as we study from your word. We thank you for the opportunity and the privilege we have to come to you in prayer. We're grateful for that. May we never take it for granted. We pray, Father, that you would forgive us of our sins and help us to grow in your word and to do those things that are pleasing in your sight. Thank you for sending Jesus to die for us. In his name we pray. Amen. I would like for us to begin with a text in 1 Timothy chapter 2, and I'd like us to read the first four verses of 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. Paul writing says, "Therefore I exhort first of all that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and all who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth." I'd like us to think a little bit about this text, and as we look at it, we might initially just ask the question, what is this teaching? How do we carry out those things that are described within this text? And are there challenges that come to this obligation, this command to pray for all men, especially for kings and those who are in authority? This particular lesson, I had a request from a brother some weeks back that he thought this might be a good topic for us to look at. So I want to take advantage of that request this evening as we look at this. Now, I want us to look first of all here as we think about this issue of praying for those in authority. There are four things that are mentioned that are described as our appeals that are directed for all men, for kings, and for those in authority. The first one that's mentioned is what the New King James translates as supplications. It is the Greek word diesis, and Strong's tells us that it means prayer, request, or supplication. While all of these words have some bearing or something to do with the idea of an appeal or communication made towards God, this one probably is more the idea of requests that are made, the idea of asking something of God. And now, in the context here, we are making a supplication or a request of God for all men, for kings, for those who are in authority. The second word that's used there is the more common word for prayer. In the Greek, it is the word prosuke. And the Olive Tree Dictionary will simply say that it means a prayer addressed towards God. Of any of these that are described, this more specifically addresses the idea of that which is directed towards God. In other words, we are going to God on their behalf. And I think that's important for us as well. But the next word is translated intercessions in the New King James Version. It is the Greek word entuxis. And Strong's tells us that it can be used of an interview, especially a supplication. And I think that's probably the sense that we need to think of here. The next idea is an intercession or a prayer. Now, unlike the idea of intercession that we often think of in a theological sense, this is more the idea of simply going to God on behalf of someone. It is not by any means suggesting that we act in an intercessory role in the sense that Jesus does. However, it is teaching that idea that we should intercede in the sense of we're praying on their behalf, we're praying for something for them. And I think we'll see an example or two of that as we look in our lesson. But then the last thing, and we really don't need to look any at the original words for this because we understand the idea of giving of thanks means. But I want us to notice that even this one comes in the context of those for whom we are to pray. Remember what it tells us, we're to pray for all men. Now that makes this passage very broad. When it does get specific, notice it mentions for kings and for all who are in authority. I want us to think about some things that we can see that this indicates to us. First of all, we as Christians are commanded to pray for all people. Now, obviously, we would have to spend 24/7 praying for every human being that's out there. I think this is a general idea that we're to pray for others. And I hope that in our time that we spend in prayer, we do recognize the importance of this. Do we make it all about requests that we have pertaining to ourselves? Now, there's a time for that and a place for that, but we also need to be praying for other people. I think we may be surprised because when we do that, it may change the way we feel about other people. It may change the way in which we hold resentments or even the way in which we have bitterness towards others. So we pray for all people. Notice as well that we are to pray for our leaders. And I want us to notice that while it mentions kings, that certainly would be the idea, at least in our day and age, in our culture, of a political leader. But understand that in much of ancient times, a king was also one that would serve as an example to those in spiritual terms. So the fact that it then goes on to say, for those who are in authority, we recognize that within the church, there are those that are in a position of spiritual leadership over us. So I think we need to recognize that this is probably inclusive of not simply political leaders, but it must also be understood of material, of spiritual leaders as well, our elders within the church. I hope that, you know, you pray for teachers and preachers within the church. And I think that's an important thing for us to recognize. The third thing as well is that we are to make requests for others. Go with me to a text in 1 Samuel chapter 12, and I want to look at an example of this in the words of Samuel, because I want us to notice what Samuel says about his understanding of his obligation before God. And I think there's a parallel here to what we're talking about. Yes, we are all souls that are independent of one another, and we do stand before God based upon our own actions. Nonetheless, we read here in 1 Timothy chapter 2 a command that we are to pray for one another. And look at an example here where Samuel is talking about his responsibility to the Israelites and his what he's going to continue to do. And I'd like us to read in verse 23 down to verse 25. Samuel says, "Moreover, as for me, far be it from me that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you, but I will teach you the good and the right way. Only fear the Lord and serve him in truth with all your heart. For consider what great things he has done for you. But if you will do if you still do wickedly, you shall be swept away, both you and your king." I find it striking here that he describes it as something that would be considered a sin against God if he did not pray for the people. Back to our text, I think another thing that it indicates to us is that we talk to God about others, whether it's our concerns for them, our concerns for their influence over us. I think here, as we see all those different words that we looked at that are a part of what we're commanded to do, we talk to God about them. You know, particularly if we are talking about something in which maybe there's a concern we have, maybe there's something in which we're frustrated with leadership in some way. It's a whole lot better to talk to God about those things than it is perhaps to gossip and that kind of thing. Notice as well, we are described as offering intercession on their behalf. Now, I mentioned a thing about this a few moments ago. Turn in your text while we're talking about this to 1 Kings 13. 1 Kings 13. You know, the Bible will teach that there is one intercessor between God and man, the man Jesus Christ. And we realize that when it comes to our spiritual accountability before God, there is no one that can stand in the place of Jesus Christ to stand as an intercessor. But does that mean that there are never those times in which we pray to God about someone else or on behalf of someone else for a need that they have? That is a type of intercession. I want us to notice here in 1 Kings chapter 13, verses 3 through 6, we have a prophetic situation where the wicked king Jeroboam, there's a prophecy that is offered pertaining to his apostasy. But there's something that happens, and I want you to notice the role of intercession that prayer has to play, or the one that's going to offer the prayer has to play in this text. Read with me beginning in verse 3, and we'll go down to verse 6. "And he gave a sign the same day, saying, 'This is the sign which the Lord has spoken. Surely the altar shall split apart, and the ashes on it shall be poured out.' So it came to pass, when King Jeroboam heard the saying of the man of God, who cried out against the altar in Bethel, that he stretched out his hand from the altar, saying, 'Arrest him!' Then his hand, which he stretched out towards him, withered, so that he could not pull it back to himself. The altar also was split apart, and the ashes poured out from the altar according to the sign which the man of God had given by the word of the Lord." Now notice this. "Then the king answered and said to the man of God, 'Please entreat the favor of the Lord your God and pray for me that my hand may be restored to me.' So the man of God entreated the Lord, and the king's hand was restored to him, and he became as before." Now, we're not going to be in a position in which there is some miraculous event that takes place and we can then pray that it be altered. However, this does show that example, I think, of the kind of intercession. Was the man of God here acting in the way that Jesus Christ acts as intercessor? No. But he was praying on behalf of someone else. And we recognize as well that our text indicates to us that we are to express gratitude for them. Now, that's an important thing, I think, that we may often forget, especially if we find ourselves in a position in which we're frustrated with authority over us. We don't like something about them or about choices that they make. Nonetheless, there's a sense in which we need to be grateful for the role that they play and appreciate that. And I think that's a striking thing for us to recognize. Now, back to our text in 1 Timothy. Remember, as it describes what we are praying for them, we are to pray that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence. Now, think about that. These supplications, these prayers, these intercessions, this giving of thanks, yes, it has to do with those who are in authority. But it is also fitting for us to pray about the impact that they will have. You know, we must recognize that those who are in authority over us, their actions will have an impact on us. It is not selfish. In fact, it is proper for us to pray about this and to pray about the impact it can have upon our lives. Go back to the book of Psalms with me for a moment, and let's look together at Psalm 35. And I'd like us to look at the first three verses of Psalm 35. Psalm 35, beginning in verse 1. Plead my cause, O Lord, with those who strive with me. Fight against those who fight against me. Take hold of shield and buckler, and stand up for my help. Also, draw out the spear and stop those who pursue me. Say to my soul, I am your salvation. Notice here the psalmist is appealing to God. But as he does so, he is appealing to God regarding those that will stand against him, those that will act against him. And so he's appealing to God that their behavior, their actions will be curtailed so that they may not harm him. And I think that falls right in line with what we're talking about here. I want us to spend a moment or two as we're thinking here about this idea of those that are in positions of authority over us, to look at what Scripture teaches us about the purpose of authority. And I want us to do this from both angles. First of all, what does the Bible teach us about the purpose of civil authority? Go with me to Romans chapter 13. Romans chapter 13. There is an idea, it's not really a new idea, but it's kind of got a new face on it in recent years, that advocates kind of the idea of anarchy, the idea that we really don't need any type of civil authority over us. Well, I think as we look at history, we can see that times in which there has not been some type of civil authority. Now, maybe it's not federal, maybe it's very local, but when there's no civil authority, there is chaos. Listen to what the Holy Spirit here through the Apostle Paul tells us about the purpose of civil authority. Romans chapter 13, beginning in verse 1. Let every soul be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God. And the authorities that exist are appointed by God. Now, I don't understand that to mean that God chose Nero to be the king or something like that. But in the providence of God, he allows it. And so the fact that he allows this person to be in a position of leadership, it's only by his providence and only by his authority. Verse 2. Therefore, whoever resists the authority resists the ordinance of God. And those who resist will bring judgment on themselves. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to evil. Do you want to be unafraid of the authority? Do what is good, and you will have praise from the same. For, notice this, he is God's minister to you for good. But if you do evil, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword in vain. For he is God's minister, an avenger, to execute wrath on him who practices evil. Therefore, you must be subject not only because of wrath, but also for conscience' sake. For because of this, you also pay taxes, for they are God's ministers attending continually to the very thing. Render, therefore, to all their due, taxes to whom taxes are due, customs to whom customs, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. I want you to notice here that it describes the idea of the civil authority being in a position in which they protect those that are doing good, they punish those that are doing wrong. A similar idea is expressed over in 1 Peter chapter 2, and let's read verses 13 and 14. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 13 and 14. Peter says, "Therefore, submit yourself to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether to the king as supreme, or to governors as to those who are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of those who do good." Now, I want us to notice there, it tells us that when it is functioning as it ought to, civil government, civil authority exists for the purpose of protecting those that are doing right and punishing those that are doing wrong. That being the case, I may not like a particular person that's in a position of civil authority. I may disagree with certain things that they do or say or certain things about their lifestyle, but I've got to appreciate that position that they hold and the work that they do. And I have to try to do everything that I can to try to encourage them to do it in a way that's fitting and right and pleasing before God. Now, when it comes to spiritual authority, we recognize that the primary spiritual authority, of course, is Jesus Christ himself acting as the head of the church. But when it comes to earthly leadership, local congregations, we understand, are led by elders. There are deacons within a local congregation that serve as ministers and servants in various works. Teachers and preachers don't hold a position of authority, but there is an effort in which they are trying to lead in spiritual matters. And I'd like us to notice something that is said over in Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13, we learn something about the purpose of spiritual leadership. And I'd like us to notice in chapter 13, let's read simply one verse in verse 17 that describes the purpose of spiritual leadership. "Obey those who rule over you and be submissive, for they watch out for your souls as those who must give account. Let them do so with joy and not with grief, for that would be unprofitable for you." What a blessing it is to have an eldership in a local congregation that's interested in my soul and your soul. They are watching out for our souls. So again, as we talked about that idea of giving thanks for these for whom we pray, there's great reason for us to express gratitude to God for those that are willing to perform that difficult work, and we appreciate that so much. Now, let's think a little bit, if we think about this purpose, about what that suggests to us. And as we think about, okay, well, how do I pray for those in these positions? Well, one thing is that we can pray that they will uphold and do what is right. And that's true whether we're talking about material leaders, political leaders, or spiritual leaders. We need to as well pray that their leadership will allow good works to flourish. Turn over to 2 Thessalonians with me, 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, and this is not necessarily in the context of talking about prayer for leaders, but prayer for others here, prayer for an apostle. But I want us to notice the focus here. Paul requests, "Finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may run swiftly and be glorified just as it is with you, and that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for not all have faith." You know, the very same way that Paul here asks them to pray for him, that the word of God might flourish and it might be glorified, we as well, when we are praying for those who are in authority over us, we should pray that good will be done by the things that they carry out, by the actions that they take. We need as well to pray that they can have strength for the hard work of service. Again, whether I personally may like one who is in a position of leadership or not, I've got to respect that hard work that they do. Whether we're talking about spiritual leadership or political leadership, it's not easy to put yourself in that position in which you become the target for criticism on all sides. And so we need to pray that they have the strength to carry that out. We need to pray that God will bless them. You know, we're going to look a little bit later about the idea there are psalms that are called imprecatory psalms, in which one is actually praying that an evildoer be brought down. Now, there's a place for that. But we also need to recognize that there is certainly a place in which we need to pray that good will come, even if that one for whom we're praying may not be personally worthy. We pray that God will bless them. We pray as well and express gratitude for the work that they do. And we've talked a good deal about that. Now, that leads us to probably what is one of the more challenging issues. Because what do you do if you have bad leaders? Now, I'm talking about this primarily more in light of political or material leaders. Most often within the Lord's church, those men that are in a position of leadership are great men that offer wonderful examples. There are those times in which there have been those that have turned away from the truth or have tried to lead a congregation in the wrong direction. We're so fortunate at Olson Park that we've got good, faithful men that are wonderful examples to the congregation. But what do you do with this obligation to pray for those in authority, spiritual or political, when they're bad leaders? And I mean that either in terms of they have sinful lives or they promote those things that are wrong. What do we do then? Now, I think it's some comfort to recognize that all of these texts that we're looking at least within the New Testament, were written at a time in which those that were the ultimate civil and political authority were absolutely not good and moral people. As you look at some of those first Roman emperors, some of the most horrible kinds of wickedness are attributed to those men. Now, not all of them, but I think that's striking that we are given these instructions at a time in which you've got men like Nero that was himself involved in at least two homosexual marriages. You've got other kings that were involved in pedophilia and things such as that. Now, that being the case, how were they to pray for those who carried on such wickedness? Well, I think a few things that we need to recognize is we probably have different opportunities for influence over different types of leaders. What I mean by that is, you know, those who are our spiritual leaders, we have much more impact on them. For example, we can try to teach them. Let's say it's a situation where you have someone that is a teacher or a preacher or someone that's an elder or a deacon, and they just don't understand. Well, just because they are in a position of leadership doesn't mean that we don't try to influence and teach them. That's a mutual responsibility we have. We can as well offer sound advice to them. Maybe they haven't thought about something in one area or another, and we offer them a great benefit when we try to give them some suggestion. Now, if they don't take it, and we're not talking about something that's a violation of God's word, we can't get our feelings hurt if they don't do exactly as we've suggested. That's one way we can have an impact. We can also, if we are talking about sin, we can rebuke sin. Now, there are some restrictions about the manner in which particularly an elder within the church is rebuked. You're not talking about something that is casual and done without thought, but nonetheless, there's a place for it. As well, we can make certain that we are in a congregation that is sound. If we associate ourselves with a congregation that it's got a leadership that's already doing those things that are unscriptural, then we're in for trouble. But in the context of what we're talking about, we pray for them, don't we? Now, let's think about that. What do we pray for those that are in a position of spiritual leadership? Well, if we are talking about something in which there's been sin involved, we need to pray that they will repent. Go over to Acts chapter 8 with me for a moment. And I want us to see an example there when we have the account of Simon the sorcerer. And you'll remember in Acts chapter 8, go with me to verse 22. Simon, who had formerly practiced sorcery, obeys the gospel, but when he sees that the apostles can lay hands upon believers and they may receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, he wants to purchase that. And when he's rebuked for that, listen to part of the rebuke and then his request. Verse 22 of Acts chapter 8. Repent therefore of this your wickedness and pray God, if perhaps the thought of your heart may be forgiven you. For I see that you are poisoned by bitterness and bound by iniquity. Then Simon answered and said, pray to the Lord for me that none of the things which you have spoken may come upon me. Now, notice there, first of all, you have the rebuke, and you have him urging, Peter urging Simon to repent, but then you have Simon here basically requesting an intercession. Please pray to God on my behalf. As well, we can pray that they might have strength and they might have courage. Go to Philippians chapter 1 with me for a moment. And I want us to notice that the Apostle Paul, again, acknowledges this important role and service we play for one another. It is difficult to have strength to deal with the things that we must within this life. But the apostle will plead here for the idea that the brethren will appeal to him, that will pray for him, and that through their prayer, deliverance might come. Let's notice, beginning in verse 18 of Philippians chapter 1, our text says, what then? Only that in every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached, and in this I rejoice, yes, and will rejoice. For I know that this will turn out for my deliverance through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, according to my earnest expectation and hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but with all boldness, as always, so now also, Christ will be magnified in my body, whether by life or by death. Those that are in a position of spiritual leadership often face those times in which it's hard to have the strength that you need. And those in such a position need people who are praying for them, brothers and sisters who are praying that they might have strength. We can pray as well for those who are in a position of spiritual authority to live a long life and to have good health. Now, we're talking about this in the context of those that may not be doing as they should. I'm presuming with this that you're talking about those that have repented. If you're not, then there's a degree to which we're praying that they have the time to repent. We're praying that they have the health so that they'll be right with God and that they can correct some kind of harmful influence, perhaps, that they have wrought. We pray as well for them to have wisdom in the leadership that they exercise. Go to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. And let's look at Colossians chapter 1, begin in verse 9. You know, it is one thing to know the Word of God, and those that are in a position of spiritual leadership need to be grounded in the Word of God. However, there are times in which choices, decisions come up, and those who are spiritual leaders have to have good judgment and wisdom to be able to make the right choices. Listen to Paul's words, begin in verse 9, and we'll go down to verse 12. For this reason, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to His glorious power for all patience and long-suffering with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. Now, once again, Paul here is not specifically talking about prayers for leaders, but he's talking about his prayers for the Colossians, that they might be filled with wisdom. And we ought to offer the same types of prayers. We can pray that our leaders stay true to God's word. But I want us to think as well about what if we are talking about political leaders, and maybe in their personal lives they're not living as they ought to, or maybe the very guidance that they are offering is leading in a way that is wrong. Well, I appreciate the fact that we live in a nation in which we have the opportunity to vote, and that vote can be an opportunity for influence. Not all places where Christians live even have that opportunity. There have been times in the past, I brought this up some months ago when we were talking about this, that New Testament Christians and Christians like the early part of the 20th century did not believe that you ought to, because they thought that was kind of participating in material things in a way that you shouldn't. Well, I don't believe that personally, but I think this is a way in which you can exercise some influence. You can contact leaders. Now, I realize that writing to the president is a different thing than writing to the mayor. However, depending upon what the political concern is that you have, you may be able to have a great deal of impact on those that are closer to home. And that may lead you as well to want to become involved, to try to have an impact, whether it be locally or in other ways. But once again, in our context, we are talking about prayer for them. How do we pray for those in authority over us that may not be living the kind of lives personally that they ought to, may not be the kind of people that they ought to be, may be leading in a direction that is wrong? What do we do then? Well, once again, I think we pray for repentance if we're talking about those that are engaged in sin. It's amazing when you see the examples in Scripture of those kings that were wicked, and yet when they were given an opportunity to repent, some did. So we pray that those that we may feel are in that situation will do the very same thing. We pray as well that if they don't understand the truth, they're not following the truth, we pray that they will learn it. And we pray that there'll be opportunities and people around them that can influence them to lead them to the truth. We pray as well. And this is a careful one I want us to think about. But I think it is absolutely appropriate that we as Christians can pray that those that are leading in a direction that is wrong, that they be defeated in those things that are wrong and strengthened in those things that are right. I mentioned in precatory psalms earlier. Go with me to an example of one in Psalm 7. Psalm 7. And I want us to notice here that we see these as examples in which a prayer is offered for justice on the part of one that's been wrong, a prayer for bringing down one that is doing wrong. But in the context of this idea, let's read together verses 8 and 9. Psalm 7. The Lord shall judge the peoples. Judge me, O Lord, according to my righteousness and according to my integrity within me. Oh, let the wickedness of the wicked come to an end, but establish the just, for the righteous God tests the hearts and minds. We might initially think, well, is that a good thing to pray that something not succeed? If it's a bad work, absolutely. We are to pray that they be defeated in those things that are wrong and strengthened in those things that are right. I've personally prayed for that in the lives of others before as well, those that may not be faithful to the Lord. But I think as well, we can pray for them that any efforts that they are exerting that are wrong, we can pray that they might be restrained. And I want us to end with a text in Proverbs chapter 24. Proverbs 24, and let's look together at verse 11. Proverbs 24 and verse 11. We never really know the extent to which God in His providence is exercising restraint over the affairs of life. Certainly when we see things not going the way we wish they would, we wish God might exercise more restraint, but we don't really know what He has already done to keep it from becoming even worse than it is. A simple statement here, but in Proverbs 24, verse 11, deliver those who are drawn towards death and hold back those stumbling to the slaughter. You know, God is very patient, and aren't we grateful for that? The very fact that He allows the world to continue to stand in spite of ongoing rebellion and rejection of Him and His will, He is patient. But we also appreciate the fact that he doesn't allow it to get as bad as it possibly could. And that's something we need to pray for, especially as we think about this idea of prayer for all men, for those in authority, that we might lead a quiet and godly life. Let's go to God in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the guidance, God, that you've offered us through your word. We pray, Father, that you will be with those that are in a position of leadership and authority over us, both spiritually and in the political realm. We pray for those things that we've discussed this evening, that they might do those things that are right and influence in a direction that is right. Be with us, Father, as we face various trials. Help us not to let any difficulties in the world around us bring us down or turn us away from you, but ever remain true and faithful to your word. We love you very much. We thank you for sending Jesus to die for us. It is in his name that we pray. Amen. Well, there may be some who are watching our live stream this evening that are not yielding to another authority, and that is the supreme authority in our lives, the authority of God that is demonstrated in his Son, Jesus Christ. The Lord loved us enough that he sent his Son to die for us, that we might not be separated from him because of our sin, but through his sacrifice we can be reconciled back to him. If you are in a position in which you've never put your faith in Jesus as the Son of God, you've never confessed that faith, you've never repented of sin, like Simon that we looked at earlier, and you've never been baptized into Christ for the remission of sins, you need to do that. And if we can be of any help to you, we'd love to do that. But if, as a child of God, there are ways in which maybe you've struggled with this idea of prayer for those in authority, and maybe you have not done it in the manner in which God would want you to. Remember, Samuel said he's not going to sin by not praying for others. Let's not do that as well. But if, as a Christian, you need prayer, you need encouragement, don't hesitate as well to reach out to us. If you need to get in touch with us, go to our website, www.olsonpark.com. You can call us and leave a message for us at our building at 806-352-2809. You may call me, Kyle Pope, at my cell phone, 806-341-1686, and we'd be delighted to help you however we can. Well, thank you so much for joining us this evening. We hope that this Bible study has been an encouragement to you, and we hope that you stay safe and warm, especially those who are suffering from the winter storm, and we would encourage you, if you're able to be with us Sunday morning at 10 a.m., Lord willing. We'll be here at the building, and then next Wednesday, we'll resume our classes at the building as well. We pray that you have a great evening.